please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I want to welcome everyone to the January 22nd work session. First on the agenda is roll call tonight. Council members present are Philip Locke, Gina Marie Ellis, Teresa Agustinelli, myself, Steve Cocosa, and Susan Clark. Okay, now there's a period for anybody in the audience to address.
You want to make sure, excuse me, Mr. President, just have the notes reflect that Mr. Goldberg is not present.
I'm sorry, and I forgot Mayor Stacy Smith. My apologies, Stacy. Matt Hootman, engineer, and Jerry Montella, solicitor.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Okay, now there's opportunity for the public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address. Marta?
Marta Driscoll, 4580 Lanai Road. Just a quick question. So there's a lot of lights out on Llewellyn and Valley Brook Roads. Wanted to know if we can get that addressed and you know, when we get those lights replaced. They're just dark.
The street lights
are out.
Okay.
So, you know.
We'll make a note of that, Larry, and we can.
We'll get a hold of Pete Cohen and have them replace them.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Anyone else in the first row? Jeff? Mm-hmm. Second row? Third row? Okay, moving on. Number four on the agenda tonight is the drafting of the First Amendment to the Concord Chester Heights Intermunicipal Agreement.
Yes. Mr. President, I think you skipped.
Did I skip?
Number four is tax collector software. Oh, unless I have a different.
Number five is, do I have a different one? Okay, hold on.
It's actually switch, Mr. President.
Okay. Oh. My apologies. Number four, tax collector software.
I know it's not your question. I just wanted to give you an update very quickly. The municipal cycle's about to start February 1st. Of course, our tax numbers remain the same, so that's great. There's no need to, you know, come up with different figures or anything. However, I've only been using software for the past couple of years for both the school and the borough, and I don't know whether it's the addition they gave me or what, but I'm not happy with it. I'm not at all happy with it. There's another product out there. It's about going to be $25 more a year for the school district, but it's run by tax collectors. It was designed by tax collectors. It's got a good feedback, good references. I'm going to try that instead.
Okay.
On top of that, it will produce bills. Delaware County has been telling me for years they're not going to produce bills anymore. They're not going to print bills. They want to get away from that. Chester County did it years ago. I've always been thinking in the back of my mind, we're going to need to print bills somewhere else. Hand in hand with this new software is the ability to use a company up in Newtown Square to do everything, to print the bills, stuff the envelopes, put the return envelopes in, put postage on, seal it, and get it out for a lot less than what we're paying now, maybe $300 to $400.
Okay.
So I'd like to go that route also. And I'm about to file a tax claim. I'd like to do it tomorrow in media. I think we're looking at about $4,000 in outstanding taxes here, and that's a face amount. That doesn't include the 2% discount or the 10% penalty. And it's the usual characters. I don't think anything, you know, anyone would be surprised at. But if anybody, Sue will get copies of all the paperwork as soon as I do it. And that's it.
I have a question. We budgeted in 2017 $1,500, and I believe that was for you to purchase software in 2017, and you did not purchase it in 2017?
2017 software was purchased. I think it was $700 for the initial setup, Sue, and I think that should have been it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm not happy with.
Yeah, and how much is the new software?
$750, but it will be shared with the school district.
Okay, so it's not a cost
like
increase?
Three and a quarter.
No. Okay.
Very good. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Mary Ann, thank you. Moving on, number five, Concord-Chester Heights intermunicipal agreement.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I was provided with the first amendment to the intermunicipal agreement between Concord and Chester Heights Borough. This involves the tapping fee capacity payment to Concord for the amount of $281,490. The amendment is to simply allow the Borough of Chester Heights a one-year extension to December 30th, 2018. It's my understanding that the initial extension was requested was for April. My understanding is also that I think the borough, at some point towards the latter part of December, requested Concord to consider an extension. Concord did so, and they've agreed to the extension for a full year. There was a few questions by Councilman Block with regard to, you know, what would occur with regard to this particular extension. And essentially, there's some null and void language in the agreement. And the rationale behind that is that Concord doesn't want to allow an infinite amount of time for their capacity. I mean, they want to ensure that there's capacity for the system, but they want to keep it at a particular amount of time. So the one-year extension would be amenable to both Concord and the borough. It's my understanding that both municipalities have worked towards this goal. So that's the null and void language. I think the other question was this entering into the agreement, would that have any effect on the Wawa or the Fox Valley projects? And my reading of this is no. What you're dealing with here in this extension would be just simply the capacity part, the capacity for Wawa and Fox Valley, or Fox Chase, right. That's already been paid for. Those sewer facilities have already been dedicated. I wasn't part of that process last year, but it would not have any effect on the Fox Valley Wawa projects. This is for an extension of the capacity part for the Western project. Those agreements are separate. What you're looking at with Wawa and Fox Valley is simply billing practices between Concord, Chester Heights, and those properties.
Thank you.
So I think I've addressed most of your inquiries the way you were asking them.
Thank you.
I had Mr. Daly review this because he was involved in these negotiations last year. He reviewed them and advised me that he was comfortable with recommending that this First Amendment be approved by Borough Council. I've also reviewed it, and I think it's appropriate under the circumstances.
Okay.
So that would be on your agenda if Council so chooses to... For the next meeting.
Okay.
If all the questions have been addressed. And I apologize, I actually sent out an email yesterday kind of setting forth what my opinion was with regard to Ms. Councilman Block's questions, but apparently some of you didn't receive them, so I apologize for that. I'll recirculate it.
Any other questions? Susan?
No, I didn't get the email, so we've gotten hardly any email traffic, and I'm concerned. Is there something wrong with email?
Yeah, Matt, I didn't see your email late today either.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I got yours, but I didn't get yours.
Yeah, I sent mine yesterday at almost like 12 o'clock. So I'll recirculate it just in case.
Okay.
But I try to address Councilman Block's questions.
Okay, next on the agenda is the Mariner 1. Phil, do you have any comments on that?
It's actually just a question. So
okay. First, I think Jerry has gotten into this, so if you want to comment first.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody's aware of the issue or we need a little background.
Why don't you give us a quick...
All right, so I don't know if you're all aware, but the Mariner East 1 pipeline by Sunoco, which carries this liquefied natural gas product, enters part of our borough, kind of in the Wawa Reserve area. And Nat, please chime in,
sure.
But due to the new Wawa train station, they have plans to move part of that pipeline, still within their easement, but they moved it without getting the proper digging permit prior to doing that. So they did not get the proper permitting from the borough. I found that somewhat problematic because, irregardless of what you think about the pipeline or anything, there's some sovereignty about the borough that, you know, people shouldn't just come in and do what they want to do without the proper permitting. So I think it was the November session, the council at that time agreed to write a letter to Sunoco just stating you didn't follow the proper procedures and were upset, you know, with the thought of trying to keep the borough sovereignty portion, you know, our sovereignty and rights, you know, intact. I just wanted to follow up and see if that letter was sent or if it was.
So during the transfer of files, I had a discussion with Mr. Daly. He provided me with the file. I also reached out to Matt last week. I believe Mr. Daly was in the process of determining some of the reference points in the letter that was sent back in January of 2017 by Sunoco Pipeline LP. I then followed up actually with Mr. The author of the letter, Jim McKinley, and tracked down a Mr. Owerski today, who is and explained the situation with regard to the permit process. He had some comments with regard to that the notification that he sent originally was under Act 14 related to the DEP notice, and that provided that before they get a permit for the DEP, they send this notice out, which gives the municipalities 30 days to respond. Be that as it may, I've worked out with him, as I understand it, for him to be here in the next work session to address whatever concerns council has and address your concerns with regard to what they did, when they did it, why they did it, and to talk about the safety of the pipeline, the product going through the pipeline, the depth that they did the pipeline. So I think I just received an email about half an hour ago, and we're going to work out a mutual convenient time. I believe it's going to be at next work session for them to come here and discuss it with the borough council.
And to me, it was also just setting up a precedent because we have drinking water piping coming into town and various other stuff, and I didn't want to set up a precedent that companies just can come in and do what they want to do without getting the proper permits, knowing that we'd never do anything about it.
So, I offered, you know, the borough's concerns with regard to the permit process and not having approval before the, you know, definite approval before they did the work. So I just thought it was, you know, a reasonable solution based upon what I was reading.
So they're aware of it.
They're aware of it. They're going to come in. They're going to make a presentation to council.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any further questions on the matter one? Okay. Up next is the Powell property.
All right. Let me give a little bit of background on this, because there is some. Most of you may not be aware of this issue at all, and there's some fairly time-critical issues if we want to do something about this. So, unfortunately, Mr. Calvin Powell passed away early 2017. I'm not exactly sure of the date. But if you're not familiar with his property, he owned about 45 acres that abuts Valley Brook. It's one of the prettiest properties in town. Not saying anything about your houses, but you know, that property is absolutely gorgeous. It's got that field and that whole thing. So at the time, I had some concern about what's going to happen with that property, given the beauty of that and the significance it is to the town and the frontage on Valley Brook. And I had come up with two potential plans that in midsummer to make some concepts to do with that property, that if the borough and other entities would be interested in trying to get that property. And I could go into details because some of this sounds kind of strange, but one would be...
Yes. Can I interrupt and ask a quick question?
Sure.
Is the estate settled?
So now I'm going to get to where we are on that.
I'm just concerned about talking about private property without the permission of the family or the knowledge of the family that we're discussing their house and their land in a public setting.
I will jump to the end then and come back
Thank
here.
You.
So I'm not going to talk about the price of that property, and I'm going to request an executive session at the end of this meeting to let you know what's been communicated to me on that. The short end of it is the concept I have come up with. I've subsequently talked to the real estate agent, Jim Cutis, a media real estate company who represents the family. Calvin Powell was an environmentalist, and we talked about a couple of the options I had thought of, and he said Calvin would have been very intrigued to use the property that way, but the family would like to sell the property. But in essence, they're notifying me and hence the borough that the family's about to put that property up for sale and wanted to let us know so that we can make a decision whether we would try to do an action on that property. So they know that I'm telling you about this because they want to see
just,
the borough's
just making sure.
Absolutely. But if we're going to talk about the value of that property, I'm going to ask to have an executive session at the end of the meeting because I don't want to impact any of the potential value that they can extract from the property. So two of the concepts, one is just turn it into a simple trail and hiking path for the residents of the borough. And the other was to turn it into an environmental education center. And there's a number of these around the country where basically because of the property, it has access to meadowlands, estuaries, wetlands, and forested areas. So it represents a wide variety of biomes. And you could potentially work with the school district and local universities to turn it into a learning center and have it as an educational center. I actually broached that concept with Dr. Bertrando, who's the superintendent of the Garnet Valley School District, back in July. My estimation on the value of that property was very conservative, and the school board had a brief discussion and said it was too expensive. It's since come back that the real estate agent told me that my estimate was way conservative, and it is not as much, and we'll discuss that in the executive session. But the key is it's still a fair amount of money. We would have to do something relatively soon if we want to preserve that open space and potentially turn it into usable nature lands for the community. And I just want to gauge the council's interest. If you know, we want to go back to the school board or we look at other funding ways. I just want to tee it off today because we probably have to talk about how to approach this opportunity at the next regular council meeting, which is a week. Again, I think we need to go to the executive session a little bit at the end to talk about what the numbers are.
Well, any acquisition of real estate is for executive session. So the details of that acquisition would have to be involved in an executive session.
Okay. I just want to bring it up because it's something, if we do want to do something, it's going to unfortunately have to be relatively quick. And so I wanted to make the council aware of this potential.
I guess the question is, are the resources there to do something relatively quick?
We do not currently have the resources in our funds, but there are other options to do that I would like to discuss in executive session.
Okay, very good. Any questions or comments?
I know that council about 3 years ago approached Calvin when he was alive and well and asked for 6 months right of first refusal, that if the family or he wants to sell, that the borough would have an opportunity to do something like you're suggesting. And he said, no.
Well, so I can only tell you the real estate agent who he claims was one of his best friends, what he's told me since. And they're telling us about it, so...
We just asked for 6 months.
Well, to be honest, it's been about 6 months.
Six months from the time it's on the market.
Oh.
Right of first refusal.
Well, I can ask them.
Yeah. See if the realtor agrees.
Yeah. Right of first refusal. Okay. That would be good. Yeah.
Just a quick comment. Good evening, everyone. My name's Glenn Powell. I'm Calvin's son.
Hi.
And nice to see you.
I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I did talk to Jim, and he said it was okay to talk about.
Fair enough. As far as I know, and I'm certain that Calvin did not give a right of first refusal to that property. That property is not for sale.
Period. Oh.
So, that's that.
Oh, well, thank you. Okay. Just to let you know, I talked with Jim 2 days ago, and he told me to bring this up to council, so I hope I'm not speaking out of turn. But it's an absolute beautiful piece of property you have there. To me, it symbolizes the town. You know, it's just so beautiful. So, thank you. I guess I should have asked if you were here first.
Further comments or concerns, anyone? Okay, moving forward on the agenda, number 8, website.
So this is mine also. I have a request that the current picture on the website be taken down in a picture more representative of the town, such as a picture of the town be put in its place. That is the landing point for people coming onto the borough website. Historically, it's pictures of, you know, demonstrating the beauty of the town or things like that. I find the picture that's currently on there political and partisan, which in my opinion does not match the current borough social media policy. So I'm requesting that picture be taken down and a more appropriate one be put up tomorrow. And I'll be honest, it's caused some confusion in the community too, because I've gotten a lot of phone calls asking why certain council members aren't on the council anymore, which is not true, and what that picture is. So.
Okay. I think I can comment on that first. First of all, that photo is a photo of all the newly elected officials. So there wasn't anybody excluded that was a newly elected official on that. Second of all, our plan is to have a new photo of council once we're all together. Now, obviously, Jordan is not here tonight, so that couldn't be done.
Okay.
So at the next meeting, that will be something we'll do after the meeting. But by no means do I think that that photo is partisan. It's simply all the newly elected officials. And I might add, I have been asked by a couple residents why the results of the election were not posted on the borough website after the election on November 8th. If we look back 2 years ago, when you were elected, Susan was elected.
No, it was not. It was not posted. It is not the duty of council to post election results. That is not one of our jobs. We are not a news agency. It is a duty of the Borough of Elections to do that,
okay.
Not the borough.
Are we not supposed to inform our residents?
Not about elections.
No.
I don't agree with that.
Was your name put on the website?
No, it was not.
It was not.
No, they did not post our election results. That is not true.
They did not?
No.
Because I've been told otherwise.
And you know
Mr. President,
were,
if I may, also, actually, we were not posted. But
okay.
I have no problem with a news item button being put there and that being put there.
Okay.
I'm talking about the landing page, the header,
okay.
Which historically, if you look at any other municipality, shows pictures of
sure.
the neighborhood.
Sure.
And I think that would be more appropriate there. If there needs to be a news item and we want to put news items or links to the Facebook page for news items, I think that's
great. I have to interrupt.
Okay.
I distinctly remember seeing a picture of all borough council members before.
All
on the website.
That was
not
before.
Seen the views and
right, but
stuff
not
like
excluding
that.
Three of the members of the council.
Well, I'll have to say, my picture's never been on the website. This was.
Yes,
several.
It has.
When we had
a
recycling event,
you were in it.
I'm sorry, a news event. In terms of a council picture. We have not taken a council picture in 2 years. So.
I think Marta and anyway. Jeff Durst were both put on the website after they were appointed. I recall seeing that.
Nope. Okay. But anyway, even if
our
we,
names
again,
once
to
we
me, if you want a news
item,
I think that's
so.
Very
we will send the email out to come dressed appropriately for next meeting.
Okay.
We'll take a photo and we can take care of that.
I'm not even sure all of our pictures belong there because some of us would scare people off the website. But that's another story.
One other thing, if you don't mind, Mr. President.
Sure.
After the appointments of Sue Clark, Jordan Goldberg, Marta Driscoll, Philip Block, and Cyril and Jeff Durst, there were in the newsletter not
right.
And you excuse me. And the appointment of Mr. Ward and
not pictures of all of council, but pictures of newly elected council, which I don't think anybody complained about or wrote letters and emails and Facebook posts and every other thing. It was borough news. Nobody had a problem with it. And I don't see any. I don't see why anybody has a problem with it now.
Well,
that it was put on the website temporarily to inform the residents of Chester Heights that there was newly elected council members and a mayor. So, you know, I think this is much ado about nothing, and I think it's political sour grapes. And I think that if we're truly concerned about what we were elected to do and serving the residents of the borough, that we shouldn't be making an issue of minor political issues, and we should move on and simply serve the residents of the borough.
Fine, so take the picture down.
If I may.
And by the way,
it will be taken down at a certain point.
It's not just council people that are in that picture. And by the way, everybody, including Republicans, have always approved everything that's gone into the newsletters. I have no problem with people being put into the newsletters. Republican appointees have also been put into that newsletter. I'm talking about on the mast of our website, the landing page on our website, that picture does not represent this borough. If you want
it
to have borough
news, if you, it will be removed within a timely fashion.
That's not a borough news location, is my only point. That is
the mast head. Political.
I agree.
I think,
it is
I think
a political
we're making
picture.
This political when it shouldn't be. I think we should move on and serve the residents of the borough.
Okay. Laura, do you have a comment?
You know, back in August, Mr. Pascal stood up and said, hey, there's a sunflower on the website and it looks like a daisy, and Sarah Daisy is using a daisy to represent herself in a campaign. And though we disagreed that a sunflower looked anything like a daisy, we took it down immediately the very next day because we were a borough council in no way wanting to appear in any way partisan. This is strictly Republicans on a borough page using borough resources. Yes, a news item. Go right ahead. Tell everybody these are the newly appointed people. We're very happy to see it. But a landing page where nobody sees the other representatives of our borough, I'm sorry, that is partisan no matter how you cut it.
Marta, if you had won and I had lost, you would have been in that picture. Jeff,
that
if
picture,
you had won and I had lost,
yes, and you know,
you would have been in that picture.
The entire council would have been in that picture.
It was the newly elected officials with their Harrisburg representatives, and that's it. The U.S. House of Representatives does
a
here's who just got sworn.
Wait a minute, time out, all right? Can't have to go back and forth. This is borough meeting, and I'm going to stop right there, okay? Council has determined what their position is.
They've
started having a freely discussion on the subject. I'm not going to have council go back and forth with regard to the public, you know, answering any other questions. Good, Councilwoman.
Thank you. I'm fine. I'm finished.
All right.
Okay, moving forward. Any more comments?
My only comment is, just for the benefit of the public, is that Philip and Jordan and I were there when that picture was taken, and we were not invited to participate in it.
Yes, I'm going to make a comment on that.
I invited
you, actually, Philip, into the photo as you walked past, because we were lining up against the far wall. And I invited you into the picture. You looked at me. You looked at Stacy. You looked at Mr. Chris Quinn. You looked back at me and said, no, thank you, and you left. So I absolutely did invite you into
you
that photo, because I know I remember inviting you into that
the
photo as
you
we were setting up.
That was you invited me to a post party, and I said no. I already had plans.
Okay, moving forward. Any more comments? No. Let's move forward then. Item number 9: traffic signal improvement update. Matt.
Yes. For the benefit of the newer council members, maybe I'll start with a bit of background. There are 4 signalized intersections within the borough. Most of them, or not all of them, have involvement with state highways. Even though they're PennDOT roads, when there's a traffic signal installed within a municipality, it's the municipality's responsibility to operate and maintain those traffic signals. There's a signal at Wawa Corporate's main entrance at Red Roof Drive that the borough does operate and maintain, although we have an agreement with Wawa that they will reimburse the borough for any maintenance expenses associated with that intersection. At the intersection of Stony Bank Road and Route 1 and Lydia Hollow Drive, which is the entrance to Wawa, that intersection is right at the interface with Chester Heights Borough and Concord Township. Chester Heights Borough does have the responsibility with that intersection for its maintenance and operations, but those maintenance costs are split equally with Concord Township. The other two signalized intersections are Valley Brook Road and Walnut Hill Boulevard with Route 1, and also Smith Bridge Road and Valley Brook Road, that being the newer of all four intersections. Probably a little over a year ago, there was talk at the borough level with continuous maintenance issues with the intersections, especially at Stony Bank and Route 1, and Valley Brook Road in Route 1. And they deal mainly with the loop detectors. They are the systems that identify if there are cars at the intersection waiting to take a left-hand turn or waiting to come out of the side streets onto Route 1. Those older signals have the inductance loops there. I don't know if you ever noticed at an intersection, you'll see a thin line kind of loops out in the pavement right at the intersection. That is an inductance loop. When there's a car over it, sends a magnetic signal back to the controller, indicates that the traffic's there. And a lot of those inductance loops at Walnut Hill Boulevard and Valley Brook Road are not operable. We had problems about a year ago at Stony Bank Road and the left turn lane off of Route 1 onto Stony Bank. We were successful in getting PennDOT to repair those inductance loops at that time because they had just finished the paving project. There's still issues with Valley Brook Road and Route 1. Now, those loops don't affect the safety of the intersection. They really just affect the efficiency of the intersection. They know that if there's no cars lined up to go through the intersection, it might delay the lights, the timing to get a green light, and let more green light time go for the through traffic where there is vehicles encountered. Higgins is the contractor for the borough that for the last number of years has been providing service to maintain the traffic signals, and each year they do a report on the status and conformance of the signals, how they operate with that which is shown on the approved signal permit plans that are on file with PennDOT and with the borough. Every time an inductance loop fails, if it's a failure at the control box, it's not a terribly large expense to correct. If it's a failure within the loop itself, it does get to be pricey in terms of the repair. You have to either relay an inductance loop, if you're lucky enough to find out where it is breached. You have to shut down traffic lanes. You have traffic flagmen while they're working there, and you have pavement costs as well as the electronic costs. So I think it was the general feeling of Borough Council over the last year through 2017, and it's been reinforced with PennDOT, is that we should take the the vehicle detection devices away from the inductance loops, which are buried in the pavement, and use cameras that get mounted on the mast arms of the traffic signals. They are not subject to the wear and tear on the highway itself. One of the reasons why we have problems at Stony Bank is the quarry trucks coming out of Glen Mill Quarries come up there, and if you ever notice that pavement is severely deformed, where those trucks stop on a hot summer day, the pavement actually just kind of spreads out and can break the loop. So if you have about the same amount of cost to repair an inductance loop as opposed to mounting a camera, you're going to have much longer lifespan and less maintenance with the camera systems. We then went into some research and discussion with, for instance, at Valley Brook Road, Walnut Hill Boulevard, and Route 1, that the standard traffic signal cameras, which is really just a video feed, and the electronics pick up changes in the video feed, that at that location there's a severe sun glare problem, and that the typical cameras really shouldn't be installed there, but an infrared camera system should be installed at that location, a FLIR system they call it. That's more expensive than the regular camera. And also during this whole process, with our arrangement with Concord, for day-to-day maintenance type issues with the traffic signal, we don't have to clear it with Concord. We basically have the maintenance performed. We get invoiced, the borough pays the contractor, and then we bill Concord Township for one half of that maintenance cost to be reimbursed by Concord. However, when there's a major maintenance item, that has to be first presented to Concord so that they have the ability to understand it and suggest alternatives if they choose to do so. In a particular case with the light at Stony Bank in Route 1, when we, the Borough Council, decided that in all likelihood they would upgrade that system from inductance loops to cameras, that was reviewed by the Concord Township traffic engineer, and they suggested a different camera type for the advanced camera detection. And that's for cameras that want to look 400 feet down Baltimore Pike to see if there's vehicles coming to help with the timing of a red change to red signal. So that took a few months to coordinate with Concord. Through all this, toward the end of 2017, I think pretty much, well, the path was in order to move forward, but with the holiday season breaking, there was no bidding done or any definitive action done, and here we are today. So I tried to summarize all that in a memorandum. I did email this out just today. It looks like Sue made copies, I think, and gave them to everybody. Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, I don't know if we should go through that whole memo, but if maybe Borough Council can read it and try to digest it, we can have a follow-up discussion. There is cost associated with the upgrades. I think at Stony Bank Road, it's a total charge of $26,000, of which $13,000 would be responsibility of Chester Heights Borough. And at Valley Brook, another $26,000. I think these numbers are higher than what was contemplated in 2017, so okay. The Borough Council's got to get its arm around that also.
Okay. Do you remember how much we budgeted?
Well, I think it was based on, we had two estimates from Higgins. One was just to repair or to install two cameras at Stony Bank. I came in at like $5,700. Then we asked for a follow-up quote from Higgins to put the four cameras at the intersection, and that was about $10,000 or $11,000. But that did not address the advanced loop detection, which the Concord Township traffic engineer was desiring at the intersection, so that brought that up. The $26,000 is in line with a $25,000 some odd quote that Higgins provided for that infrared system at Valley Brook and Route 1. So it might be at the Stony Bank intersection that the money that was planned for is being exceeded now with the present proposal necessitated by Concord Township.
Matt, question for you. Mm-hmm. If these items are replaced as spec'd out with all the new equipment, what is your estimate of time from now till they would have to be replaced or repaired?
For any kind of major repair, I did ask Higgins that. He was saying, yeah, it depends on a lot of things, but we might have inductance loops problems almost every year, every other year.
Yeah,
we're looking at 8 or 9 years that they would think
okay.
That you know we could have a relatively maintenance-free period with the cameras.
Okay, is there a scheduled maintenance every year on this new type of equipment, regardless, or do you wait till you have a problem with it and then?
No, only if they're inspected once a year. So if the cameras somehow get misaligned, okay. You know, they're looking at the wrong lane. That will either be known by a report by people traveling it, or Higgins themselves when they when they ride around, they notice those sorts of things, and if not, they would certainly notice them during their yearly inspection.
Okay.
And then quickly, I don't mean to take up too much time. The dollar amounts that are involved exceed the thresholds for bidding requirements. Generally, you'd have to go out to the formal bidding process, go specifications, bidding documents, advertise, open bids, and what have you. And I wasn't too keen on having a third party into our control boxes with making additions or additional equipment. Higgins has been looking at over our traffic signals for some time and are intimately familiar with what components we have. And they indicated that wouldn't be an issue if, for instance, the vast majority of those costs are actually equipment. The installation costs are a smaller percentage of the total cost. And that would be a possibility that the borough would bid out for the equipment and then have their yearly contractual agreement with their traffic signal contractor to install them. And I did speak about that briefly with last year with Frank Bailey, and he seemed to think that was appropriate, and I mentioned it real quick to Jerry, and he's going to look into the matter and give the borough some advice on that too.
Okay.
And the other strange thing is, even when you go out to bid, all this traffic signal equipment is proprietary, so that if you want a certain camera type, there's really only one manufacturer for it, and they only allow one regional representative to sell it to you in the borough. So I'd almost ask if we have to go through the bidding process. We still might have to do it, but we're only going to get one bid back.
Okay.
But we don't have to bid, so we're doing three different lines. Is it three? We wouldn't have to bid the smaller amounts. It's just the $25,000 one, right?
Definitely $25,000 one.
Yeah, and I guess the minimum's $20,100 now this year. The other one, it's $10,900 for no formal bidding process or quotes. It's $10,901 to $20,100 for three quotes, and anything over $20,100, you'd have to go out for a formal bidding process.
Yeah. And you probably could say, since they're distinct locations, you probably could do individual, although I guess you have to watch if you released all that work at the same time, that might cause a concern for somebody.
How is that defined, Jerry, as far as...
I have to make sure that it fits within the borough code. I think it's chapter 14. It talks about contracts and purchases. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at this memo today and had a brief conversation with Matt. So it's something we're going to have to make sure we're within that scope.
Yeah. And again, there was a lot of discussion through 2017. So again, hopefully borough council can get up to speed kind of quickly on this, and we could move. I don't want to rush borough council into it, but the signals do need to operate at their designed functions, and presently they're not.
So there's a liability potentially to the
borough? No, again, it's nothing to do with safety. It's just it's just efficiency.
Okay.
Can I ask one question about timing? I know we've been delaying a lot of this stuff. It doesn't all have to be done at once unless we get a cost benefit for having the work done at once. Are there priorities that we could do one in first quarter, one in second quarter, and spread the cost out? Or
you could, yes.
Is that kind of captured here? Which would be the priority ones? Or
no, I would say priority one is the Valley Brook Roads, one of the Hill Boulevard Route 1.
Okay.
So Matt, your comment was it's probably not a good thing to do Valley Brook and Stony Back at the same time anyway.
I don't know. I'm just careful that nobody interprets that as a means of the borough circumventing the formal bidding procedures.
Okay. All right, very good. Then on Matt's advice, I would like to move this to our next meeting so that we have time to come up to speed with all this.
Yes.
Any questions or comments?
Yes, I have a comment. Is there grant money available for that?
There is oral money. It's highly competitive, and they tend to more like to spend their money for efforts to, let's say, link traffic signals to improve traffic through a corridor, not so much for just maintaining an individual traffic signal. Thanks.
Yes, Lars.
Just as roadmaster, I'd like to make sure that Matt's including all the median signage.
Yes.
Being brought up off the median onto the
light bar
masts.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's part of it.
That's a large issue of our yearly maintenance costs. Okay. Having Higgins reinstall these signs.
And I did ask Higgins to move up their 2018 inspection within the next couple of weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, so maybe we'll get that real quick, and that might just kind of tie everything together.
Okay.
That'd be super. Good.
All right, very good. Any other comments or questions?
I believe, just to your point, it comes out of your liquid fuels budget, so it comes out of the tax that we get from the state for the roads.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Committee assignments. I have a list of committee assignments. I will read this off. This list will be emailed to everyone tomorrow. If you have any questions or comments, please call me or email me. And those committees are as follows. Finance and Insurance Chair, Steve Kokosa, Sue Timmons, Fred Wood, Drew Baum. Finance Subcommittee, Fire Company Finances, Chair, Philip Block, Steve Kokosa. Nominating Vacancy, Chair, Teresa Agustinelli, Steve Kokosa. Communications, Public Relations, Chair, Gina Marie Ellis, Stacy Smith, Teresa Agustinelli. Highways Transportation, Chair, Jordan Goldberg, Larry Ward. Planning Zoning, Chair, Drew Baum, Susan Clark. Historical, Chair, Stacy Smith, Gina Marie Ellis. School District, Education, Training, Library, Chair, Susan Clark, Teresa Agustinelli. Public Safety, Environment, Chair, Drew Baum, Jordan Goldberg. Public Utilities, Trash Recycling, Chair, Jordan Goldberg, Drew Baum, Gina Marie Ellis, Bill Kuba, Aaron Letty, DiNicola. Borough Property, Parks, Open Space, Chair, Teresa Agustinelli, Stacy Smith. Engineering, Construction, Inspections, Chair, Susan Clark, Philip Block. Ordinance, Code Review, Chair, Philip Block, Susan Clark. Again, if you have questions, please email me or call me.
And I'm sorry, you said you'll send out that list?
Tomorrow, correct, yes. Okay, next on the agenda, fourth quarter budget versus actual. Sue?
Yeah, everybody has the general fund budget versus actual for 2017 in front of you. I have the liquid fuel and the fire protection here. Basically, the actual for the income was $60,000 more than the budget. It was $624,449.03. Basically, it was over due to the real estate transfer fund. The budget was about $70,000 and it was $156,000. Then for expense, the actual was $36,398.10 under the budget. And so the net income would be $99,000, but that doesn't include the $36,000 that would be taken out for the road improvement fund. And the audit was Thursday and Friday, and that should be completed in a couple weeks.
Okay, Sue, thank you. Any comments or questions?
Just a question. So the full year 2017, our net revenue was higher by our net expenses by $96,000 or $99,000? The sheet I'm looking at says $96,000.
What were you asking?
The number that you just went through, the full year 2017, our revenue was $60,000 better, correct?
Yes.
And our expenses were $36,000 less?
Yes.
So that's $96,000 better overall? And you're saying that the $36,000 for the road improvement fund is going to be taken out of that?
Yes.
So we're actually $60,000 better overall. So that means, Drew, the resolution that we made for the open space fund?
Yes.
We would probably want to vote on that at the upcoming meeting, because that provides us with, we set up to $25,000 to put in the open space fund.
Okay. So that's something we can visit next next meeting at the regular scheduled council meeting.
Mr. President, I just have one comment, not really a question, just
sure.
A general comment. I was looking through this, and I was a little surprised, because it's the end of the year, that there are a couple items that we missed by a significant amount,
okay.
Budgetary-wise.
Okay.
And due to the timing of the proposed budgets and whatnot, because usually we look at previous years, we already had a budget process at the end of last year and it got
yes.
approved. I'm a little concerned because some of these are fairly large and can swing, that my only suggestion is that we probably need to keep a pretty sharp eye, and it's both positives and negatives that we have large swings. It wasn't all just expenses, but just given the timing of when we see the year and actual, and we actually budget before that, I'm concerned we're going to have these large swings this year too. We may not, but
okay.
It's just a comment and a point that, you know, some of these we were off by $16,000 to $20,000 in different directions. That's a pretty good percentage
that is.
Of our actual.
And moving
budget.
Forward, we could probably learn from that. I'm
yes,
assuming
that,
coming up
yeah.
this year, obviously.
I'm not really sure, given the timing of. You know, we got this report in January, but we have to do the budget
yes.
for this year starting in September, how we take that learning, but it's something that we probably need to keep an eye on.
Exactly. I agree with you.
And we came out very good this year, given the property transfer last year, but it could flip the other way.
That could fluctuate, exactly. Any other questions or comments on the fourth quarter versus actual report? Okay, moving forward. Old business. New business.
I do have an item. I'm very excited that the Eagles won last night, but Gina Marie, you posted on their Facebook page a picture from a website of the Eagles, and I was wondering if you got permission from the website and from the Eagles to post it on our website.
No, it was a meme that the NFL put out there for everybody to share.
But is there any copyright or patent infringement involved with that, Jerry, that we can post things on our website, our borough website?
It was on the Facebook page.
That issue is not for borough business. It has to do with borough business. You're talking about, what is it, a text?
It was a picture. It was a picture that was taken from a website.
Related to something that was properly done?
Night.
That's certainly not within the purview of borough business. So I'm not going to comment and give you a legal opinion with regard to that.
Okay. But it's not appropriate for borough business.
The question to the councilwoman with regard to whether or not
there was a photo
or something that she might have put on a website?
Well, it was taken from a website, and it's got a picture of the Eagles. And
yeah, in my opinion, that's not something that's appropriate for this council or something that's appropriate for a public discussion before council based upon that question.
Okay.
With regard to the website that we were talking about, that certainly is borough business, but I think the question, respectfully, Councilwoman, is not a legal question that I have to deal with regard to.
It's the borough that. Facebook page is what it is, the borough of Chester Heights official Facebook page. And I'm just wondering, did we get permission to post that picture, because it's not our picture? I mean, it's something we can follow up on later.
We can.
Okay.
Or I mean, council, it is council
borough,
can.
It is borough
it
business because it's on borough's Facebook page.
My understanding of the social policy is that council at large has the responsibility with regard to the social policy that was passed. I don't believe there was a resolution that adopted that policy. It's my understanding that the committee chair of the social policy committee has the ability to post things on the website. Based upon the social policy. based upon all that those criteria that are listed under the social policy.
We need to follow up on whether there was a resolution then to adopt the policy, because I think there was.
I was advised that there wasn't a resolution when I asked for the policy. There may have been, but I didn't see one.
Can we follow up on that, Sue? If there was a resolution,
Adopting the social policy?
The social policy?
Right.
Yeah.
There was?
Not that I recall. Okay. It was a motion that approved the policy.
We can go back through the minutes and look.
We look into that then? We don't want to offend any Vikings fans that might live within the borough, right?
No, I'm just worried about, you know, posting a picture without the permission of a website. That was their picture, not ours.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't want to, I don't know this issue. I think the question, if I may, for Councilman Clark, I don't know if this is the issue, but I think it's overall liability. And that the council does have a right to ask about. I don't know if that's this issue or not.
I thought you were talking about a private account as opposed to a...
No, this is the borough's
public account. A borough public account. Mm.
No, this is the borough Facebook page.
I still have the picture.
And again, I'll go back to the particular social policy, which apparently gives the chairperson of the committee the responsibility to post content on the website and any of those other accounts. If that's not appropriate, then certainly I'll look into it.
Okay.
Sue, thank you. Jerry, thank you. Moving on, additional period for public comment on items discussed at tonight's meeting. Yes.
Sir, John Ryan, Rolling Heights Lane. Just a question here. We talked, I heard the gentlemen and ladies speak tonight about the liquid fuels tax. And ironically, I was just doing some reading on this past week. And I was wondering if maybe somebody can explain to me exactly how is the liquid fuel tax determined for Chester Heights Borough. I was reading where it says that, like, where a borough and a township meets, the borough takes the highway. So I could only use the example of Lenai Road, where Aston Township being a township and the borough of Chester Heights being a borough, it would seem to me that following that rule, they should get the... and then my next question would be is, who's responsible for plowing those streets that meet the borough? Is it our responsibility because we get liquid fuel tax for it, or is it not our responsibility because we don't get liquid tax for that particular purpose? If, in fact, as I read it, it seems like the townships get more money than boroughs because where they meet, they get the benefit of the road tax.
And in the case of Lenai Road, that is a state road, so that's... Okay. The state plows that.
Maybe that is a bit
Jerry, can you add anything or Sue Timmons?
The point I'm making is
or Matt.
Who gets the liquid fuel tax?
In terms of the funding, liquid fuel monies come from the taxes that we all pay when we purchase gasoline.
Right, but how do you determine which road miles?
And then how that money is distributed to the individual municipalities is based on two components. The amount, the length of municipal roads, not state roads, but municipal roads in the municipality and the population of that municipality. So it's a set equation depending on how many miles of borough roads and the population of the borough will determine how much liquid fuel monies we receive.
Okay, so that does not determine then which roads we are responsible for determining. Clearing or maintaining it.
With the exception of the traffic signals, which I talked about a little bit earlier, the state maintains and operates and snow plows its roads, and the municipality, the borough, maintains, operates, and resurfaces the borough roads.
Okay, and if that just so happens to be the dividing road between a borough and a township, do they split it down the middle?
That happens at a few instances in the immediate area. Usually if there's a road, which is the defining line between two municipalities, I won't say 100%, but by and large, the vast majority of those roads are state highways for that main reason.
So it's not written anyplace then, basically, is what you're saying.
I
couldn't find it. Yeah, I was looking specifically for it.
Yeah, there may be, but again, like, say, Garnet Mine Road is between Bethel and Concord. Not Ebright Road, it's Temple. Not Temple, is
Pyle.
Yes, thanks. That's what I was thinking of. It's also between Concord and Bethel. Usually, you know, we see like a township line road. Those roads which form the municipal boundary are by and large state highways.
And that's the case in Chester Heights, correct?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't.
That's the case in Chester Heights.
Okay, so we don't have all of ours are state. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Bodley Road is a state highway between Chester Heights and Aston.
Thank you.
All right, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I have a question.
I'm sorry, Marta. Okay. Question.
Marta Driscoll, 458 Illini Road. So, one question. First, I'm sorry. I did not mean to argue, Ms. Ellis. Councilwoman Ellis. When will the vacancy for the zoning hearing board be advertised?
Jerry, do we have to advertise that for, is it 2 weeks?
You have to pass a resolution with regard to that particular appointment. Is it an alternate or is it someone on the
alternate
board? Alternate?
Yes.
There may not be an advertisement. There just simply may be an appointment by council and by resolution. I have to look at it.
Okay. So another question, and I thought this was part of the committee, but why do we only have 7 members on our planning commission when the municipal code states that we should have 9? Did we at some point pass a resolution to reduce our number from 9 to 7 members on the planning commission?
I couldn't tell you. I'd have to look at it.
Okay.
There could be a resolution some years ago that has done it. There could be a fact that there could be some vacancies that have
right,
been filled. I don't know. I have to look at it.
And also, the MPC stipulates that the Planning Commission is supposed to provide to Council a written summary of all the actions taken over the prior year by March 1st, and I wanted to know if the Planning Commission was on schedule to do that this year.
That's probably a question for Chris Leisner, which I can email him.
What is it?
The code states that by March 1st, the Planning Commission is supposed to give a written account of all actions taken by the Planning Commission within a given year, by March 1st.
To
the council.
Now, you say actions. The Planning Commission is strictly advised
MPC.
Right, so anything that they have advised upon.
So a summary of.
Summary of their, you know. And that's it.
I'm sorry. Are you referring to the MPC
yes,
or the Borough Code?
MPC.
I think you said
the MPC. MPC says March 1st, and I believe that our code isn't as strict. I think it's quite looser than that, from what I remember reading. So. But our code specifically states there should be 9 members unless it's reduced, and it should be reduced by ordinance to fewer members. I just didn't want to know why we had only 7, and if there was something passed that I missed.
That's something that. We can look into, Jerry?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I have a question for anybody in the room who might know the answer, and that might be you too. It might be Susan. Anybody know anything about our Twitter page and who has access to it and who's posting?
Nobody's posted since
March 14th, 2017.
I will have to look back into my notes because we set that up a long time ago, and I don't believe that we utilized it. So I believe there's a password somewhere in the world that I have to get to
you.
That
would be super.
I also wanted to note that on the social media policy that's posted on the page that I saw that you shared with somebody with the PSAB, it refers to a matrix, which we have prepared for the Communications Committee, and I believe that matrix should be made part of that social media policy. Basically stated what types of events would happen and where they would be posted and where they would be shared. It's something we've started with, so perhaps we need to just include that.
We can take a look at it.
If I find it, I will.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Do I have any further questions or comments from the audience? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.
A second.
Do we need a second for adjournment?
Yes.
We do. Okay, second. Is there a second? I'm sorry. Philip?
I second it.
Second, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, President.
How are you?